passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football.
You said we wouldn't do it, but we decided why not, even after yesterday's show. Good afternoon. Welcome in. As we are past the Ides of March, we're heading toward the first official day of spring. Is that today? Is it tomorrow? It's soon. I know that. You would never know it going outside where we are. But we start with some very, very big news. I thought this was FSU suing the ACC. Is there another member institution doing the same thing? Yes, Clemson suing the ACC over exorbitant, and I mean exorbitant, exit fees. Film at 11. Kirby Smart says CFB coaches not trying to leave. There's no crying out there on my end. What is he talking about? Is that poking at a number of coaches who have departed? Is it his mentor, Nick Saban? Kirby, you can't speak in tongue. You have to tell us exactly what's on your mind, even though I think he did. Speaking of Alabama, Kalen DeBoer, remember what, 3 years ago, he was making about $1.5 million a year, which, by the way, sounds pretty good to me and most of you, but now he's making nearly $11 million. These are what his assistants are making. Kane Womack, you wonder why he left USA. He's making $1.55 million a year. Danny Sheridan, the offensive coordinator, excuse me, that's Nick Sheridan. 1.35 would be pocket change for Danny Sheridan. And you see the rest of the staff. Mike Rodak tweeting that. Mike Rodak joining us. Mike, I saw where all those coaches are making what they're making. I saw Greg Byrne now, one of the highest paid ADs in the country. I'm assuming that you're breaking the story right here with us, that you're in the same seven-figure category. Good afternoon.
I can only wish on that one. Certainly, you know, some more funds available, you know, at Alabama. And it's funny, too. Nick Sheridan, he's getting paid, I think, $1.35 million for the year. But he actually got paid $650,000 for the final week of January, kind of a quirk of his contract. So not a bad one-week paycheck right there for the offensive coordinator.
I haven't been to Alabama in a while. Did I miss something? Has Goldman Sachs opened up a branch on Paul W. Bryant Drive? Well, I mean, what in the world's going on there?
Well, Greg Byrne likes to joke about how there's no gold bars hidden under Coleman Coliseum, you know, to build a new arena. And there isn't. I mean, there's certainly financial constraints that he's facing on the arena and kind of the department overall. But, you know, they've always been paying coaches well, you know, football coaches well. And this is actually less than what Nick Saban was making. You know, Nick Saban was right around 11 million going up to 12 plus million with his deal. So it is a little bit of money they save on the head coach. They're paying the assistants a little bit more. And so at the end of the day, it all kind of comes out in the wash. But overall, it's still, in terms of salaries, you know, right up there with any school in the country.
And I didn't mean to leave off Nate Oates. I mean, he just got a contract extension the other day. But by the way, I'm glad to see it. Glad to see Alabama is doing well. There was a time when Alabama was bleeding in red ink, and they are no longer. They are doing quite well. So let's talk about spring ball. It is underway. I know things kind of ebb and flow this time of the year, but what are you picking up, and what are you mainly anticipating as Kalen DeBoer inches closer to his first scrimmage and ultimately his first game?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest difference is that we can at least see some of it. That's kind of been the big change where we were allowed out at one practice 2 weeks ago. You know, they had three practices that week, and they had last week off for spring break, and they're going to be back out there tomorrow, and we'll be able to watch again on Thursday. So we really weren't able to watch practice under Nick Saban the final 4 years, basically beginning with COVID and continuing on through until the end. And that's something that Kalen DeBoer's changed. And you know, I think he wants a relationship with the media where, you know, they're able to kind of see a little bit more and understand a little bit more and get to know the team a little bit better. And we've had the chance to talk to the assistant coaches, which never happened under Nick Saban. We get the chance pretty frequently to talk to coordinators, which very rarely happened under Nick Saban. So there's certainly more access for us. I think there's a little bit more openness and on their end. And, you know, for the team, I think there's been a message that they've sensed a different energy, not necessarily a bad, you know, way that it was before under Nick Saban, but I think it's a different coaching staff. There's some really energetic coaches on there, like Jamarcus Shepherd, who came in from Washington to coach the receivers, and Maurice Linguist, the defensive backs coach from Buffalo. And I think players are, you know, picking up on just a different energy around the building.
And Mike, on the subject of access, and I think sometimes the audience disconnects when it was Nick Saban. They didn't really care if Nick Saban locked the media in a bomb shelter and fed them dog biscuits. I mean, that's just and that's exactly how he treated them. But the point being, explain from the media standpoint. You've alluded to it a little bit, but how does this access to assistant coaches, to being at practice, how does it help you do your job?
Yeah, I mean, it helps us do our job, you know, because we're able to provide more information to a fan base that wants every little piece of it in terms of who's lining up at left guard on the second team. And does this guy look skinny or big, or is he lost weight, gained weight? You know, the fans here want all of that. And I think Nick Saban understood that, but I think Nick Saban was very sensitive, you know, to whatever gets out there could be used against him. And I think Kalen DeBoer's understanding that if you let media into 25, 30 minutes of a practice in March or April, that, you know, Western Kentucky, their first opponent at the end of August, is not going to learn anything that's going to give them an advantage, you know, 4, 5, 6 months from now. So, you know, I think that's, you know, the paranoia has probably come down a little bit, you know, which is a good thing, again, for us and I think for the fans. But it can also be a good thing for the coaches, too. A guy like Freddie Roach, the defensive line coach, who was never allowed to talk to the media under Nick Saban, has already talked to us once now under Kalen DeBoer. And he's a guy, you know, one day wants to be a head coach and has the title of associate head coach and just got a raise yesterday. And that allows him to kind of get his voice and his face out there. And again, he's understanding that he's still in the job that he is right now, but that could help him down the line as well.
That's an important thing to remember. I'm glad you mentioned that. I just got off the phone with a coach a couple of minutes ago before the show, and these coaches are in the same brand business as everyone else, which brings me to the biggest brand of all at the University of Alabama, and that's the ex-coach. Nick Saban a week ago appeared in front of, I don't even want to say Congress, because it was more like an assembly put on by Ted Cruz, but it got a lot of reaction, and I realize Nick Saban is rarely going to be criticized by the home folks, but he caught a lot of daggers from media and others, and then he appeared a couple of days later on Fox News, which, you know, it's just a typical partisan cable network, just like CNN and MSNBC, and he picked up more praise and more criticism. I realize you're covering football at the University of Alabama, but I'm curious about the third ring of all that, and that is Nick Saban's dalliance with politics, as well as some of the same issues he's been talking about now since he left.
Yeah, it was interesting because I watched the Fox News one. And I think he probably was sold on going on there to not to say clean up, but at least to follow up on what he, you know, said to Ted Cruz in Washington. And, you know, I think probably as most expected, Fox News kind of tacked on a couple extra questions at the end. I think if Nick Saban was still at Alabama and got those sort of questions at a press conference, he'd probably be, you know, letting out a relief valve on the SID afterwards. So, you know, I don't know if he necessarily wanted to get into the political part of it, but that's kind of what happened on that interview. But at the end of the day, he's Nick Saban. And even though he's not the coach of Alabama, every single thing he says is going to be notable and going to be, honestly, probably more read and more widespread than anything Kalen DeBoer will say, which is going to make for a really interesting dynamic this fall when Nick Saban every Saturday morning is on College Game Day and probably on some of your shows before that and is talking about Alabama and talking about other teams. And whatever he says is, again, going to get more widely read and more widely viewed on social media than a lot of the things that Kalen DeBoer will say, because Kalen DeBoer is very, very even-keeled. I don't envision him saying anything inflammatory just from what I've heard so far. And Nick Saban, not that he's inflammatory, but I think he's going to be giving more opinions. And even from afar, even unintentionally, there could be some element of him overshadowing Kalen DeBoer just with his platform that he has now.
And Mike, I realize when Nick Saban was at Alabama, he may have done some things that were questionable, but it really didn't matter. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you tried to cover him objectively, and sometimes that in and of itself is very difficult. But I wonder if he's his own advisor now, because a couple of things he said and did last week, according to my friends who were in that lane, who were in public relations, who handle politicians from both sides of the aisle, well, to put it mildly, their eyebrows were raised, and they didn't think it was a very good look. So I guess I ask, long way of asking you, who's advising Nick Saban these days?
You know, I do think he's in less of a structured environment, you know, where there's meetings and, you know, SIDs and PR consultants and, you know, there's a lot of people kind of in his orbit, or there were a lot of people in his orbit when he was at Alabama. Lisa LeMaster is one of the people who always worked with him there. So now that he's not, you know, working there necessarily, he still has an office, but he's not there necessarily. I can't imagine a lot of those same people are talking to him as frequently, that there's, you know, action plans and talking points presented to him before all these. So it might be a little bit more informal, a little bit more off the cuff. With all that said, you know, he has 50 years of coaching experience, you know, 30 years of head coaching experience, and I think he has enough knowledge built up from doing that on what to say and what not to say. But I do agree. I think there was a few things that he said last week that, but his biggest issue is probably that he made too broad generalizations about players and saying that all players want is X, when I think in reality, one player might want one thing, another player might want another thing, and it's hard to really paint it all with a broad brush like that. And that's probably where he got himself in trouble, and you're right. I think that's probably where, if there was someone meeting with him beforehand, that's something they would probably advise him to stay away from.
Yeah, and Mike, I guess the people I hear from who are his biggest fans hate to see him, and I realize I'm editorializing now, but I'll do it anyway. They hate to see him waste such hard-earned capital on political issues that are probably DOA anyway. And again, I just feel like this is a moment in time for Nick Saban where he is walking out there and he doesn't have the apparatus. Or he really doesn't have the scoreboard anymore to protect him, because at the end of every Saturday, he won the games, and whatever he said leading up to it just simply ceased to exist.
Yeah, and I think part of the issue for him is that he's not, like, as he says, like, he's not an antitrust lawyer. He's not a lawyer in general. Like, some of these issues are beyond his expertise, and he has a ton of football expertise, but when you're talking about redesigning college sports and redesigning college football and potentially having a new governing body, and what does that mean with taxes and legality and antitrust and all those things, like, that's not where he's an expert. And so for him to, it's not in front of Congress, it's not taking an oath. I think he wanted to be a voice of, here's what's wrong in college football. But maybe the issue for him is that he's not necessarily qualified to say, here's how to fix it.
Right.
And he has kind of these broad ideas, but in terms of, like, actual action, I don't know how much he brings to the table against someone that, again, might have more expertise in the political or legal arena.
Well, Mike, if he was seeking advice from people, I think he needs to be careful about going from the smartest guy in the room to the guy telling everybody to get off his lawn. Anyway, we've done too much on him, because after all, he's not the coach anymore, is he?
I don't think so. But like I said, I can imagine that the average Alabama fan might be reading more about Nick Saban still this fall than what Kalen DeBoer says. I'm convinced of that at this point.
Well, I know nothing about your business, but it is predicated, I'm told, by how many people actually read the article. So I think you may have told the truth there without really intending to make that point. Mike, always great to have you on. You're fantastic. We love talking to you. Mike Rodak from 24/7. We have a lot more to do on our program, and you may be surprised by some of the guests we have. Not Sheehan or Omari, but how about that 5 o'clock guest? Biv is on the show. Michael Bivens. I mean, if you were a fan of music, 90s style, he was on your boombox? Is that what we were listening to back then? Cassette tapes, whatever. He'll be with us.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back as we roll on here on a Tuesday afternoon. Will is up next in South Carolina, North Carolina. Hello, Will. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. That game Thursday, Peacocks, I think it's at 9:30 if your wife will let you out of the house. You know, you don't have no problems with getting off work. It's late at night now.
Oh yeah, no, I may just go straight down there from work. I'll just tell her that I'm out of town. She should probably never know the difference.
You may have to bring you a cup of coffee. I mean, it's 9:30 tip. But why does I'm being funny here? Why does Clemson need all that money to leave the ACC if Dabo doesn't believe in transfers or NIL deals or anything like that? I mean, I understand, you know, they're trying to stay afloat, but, I mean, if Dabo don't believe in the landscape now, why do they need that?
Well, I mean, they have somewhat of a disingenuous argument, Will. They're arguing that the fee to get out is exorbitant, but they're also saying they're not really trying to do that, which, of course, they are. Thanks for the call. Bash is up next in Boulder. Hello, Bash.
Bash, Brother Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I appreciate it again. I got to get to work later today. There's no sports in town for a couple of days, so I got to work a few concerts, and Madonna's in town. So
Madonna!
I have my hands full with...
Wow.
Yep. I know. I have no idea what to expect. I have no idea what kind of crowd is going to be attending, so it should be an interesting night going into.
I would think Madonna could still draw a rather older crowd, but Madonna, I'm told, still... puts on quite a show.
Have you ever been to a Madonna concert in your past, Paul?
I have not. I have bought some Madonna records back in the day. Like a virgin.
Makes sense. I would definitely picture a 20, 30-year-old Paul Feinbaum.
I realize I'm talking about somebody in their mid-60s now. That could go for a lot of people.
I thought she was in her 50s.
She's in her 60s, I promise you.
Hey, but she definitely looks like she's in her 50s.
In the early to mid 80s, Madonna was probably the hottest, outside of Michael Jackson, I might add, probably the hottest entertainer in the world.
Absolutely unquestionable in that fact, Paul. So let's change the subject, and before I go, we get back to sports.
By the way, I don't mean to be one of those guys, Bash, but Madonna is 60. 5 years old. And by the way, I feel pretty weird because back in 83 or 84, Madonna, you would have never dreamed that she would be 65 years old. By the way, I had the same thought about myself.
Paul, eventually age catches us all. That's a true fact of life. But before I go, I just wanted to change the subject and get back to sports real quickly. Want to give a shout-out to women's college basketball, to Dawn Staley, the current greatest head coach in college basketball, men's or women's, regardless. Paul, I wanted to ask you if you see any correlation between her current progression with her program to Pat Sumlin's tenure when she was at
Penn. Bash, I mean, the connection to Dawn and Pat Summitt is they're both great. Dawn was probably a better player than Pat Summitt, but Pat was very good. I mean, they're intense, steely-eyed, single-dimension, one-focus, win-it-all type of individuals who command absolute respect from their players. There are similarities. They're two genius coaches. John is up next. John, go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. I once stayed at Madonna, and well, then I woke up. Hey, Paul, I wanted to give some thoughts on the NCAA brackets and give you the Final Four prediction. But first, let me just give a shout out to that talented and esteemed selection committee and thank them for allowing me to make the cut again this year. I think they need some love after you threw them under the bus yesterday, don't you?
I heard from somebody overnight about not being in the bracket, and I had not realized that person was not in the bracket. And I know I'm overdoing the fact that I wasn't part of the committee. Not only was I not part of the committee, I've gone to court today to file an injunction trying to stop the tournament.
Yeah, you've distanced yourself quite well from them, I noticed. Hey, I think legend's number one, no doubt, and handsome, humble, and honest Joe definitely is in the top four. But as I've said before, legend is your modern-day Elmer Gantry, and he didn't disappoint with yesterday's golf. And by the way, I agree with him with regards to the caller from New Orleans who takes delight in belittling other callers. But I want to thank the committee as well for giving me a first-round bye. Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, actually, I'm playing Sniff the Coffee John, but it's like a bye. But I'm not sure why I was matched, maybe because I identified his IED. Who knows? But so, Paul, I don't want to disrespect the committee, so I think we need to have some fun at John's expense. And to that end, let me set off some IEDs. To paraphrase what John's famous opening goes, it's young man, you're not going to like what I have to say, and the only thing worse than Missouri basketball is John's calls. The best part of John's calls are from AJ. Everyone is entitled to act crazy and once in a while, but in John's case, he abuses the privilege. I mean, who talks to dead Nixon cronies? So a vote for John is a vote for his idol, Richard Nixon. Actually, I mean Richard M. Nixon, the M for meandering, which he does in every call. So, John, here's your participation trophy as you are over and out in this competition. Paul,
up against a break. Much more to come right after this. We will have an amazing lineup of guests as we also will talk more about the caller bracket, and we're back right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Come back as we roll on. A lot happening here. More on the Clemson lawsuit. What does it mean to the future of the ACC? Rick is in Houston. You're on the air. Hello, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. So, hey, got a question for you. And then I want to talk about a couple of calls from yesterday briefly. So if you had a theme song that you thought described yours and Jim's relationship, what would yours be? Because I think I figured out one for you.
What would it be?
Well, mine is When Love and Hate Collide by Def Leppard. You try to love Jim and he just hates you.
Yeah, it is. It's really one of those weird relationships. And I think we've all probably been there. That no matter what the individual does, unrequited love, I've given my life to him, I've given my love to him, I've given my heart to him, and I keep getting rejected.
He just shoots you down at every opportunity.
I mean, it's just like a corkscrew through the heart.
It hurts, doesn't it? So, hey, Paul. Did I hear Matt correctly yesterday during his call saying that he wanted to bend Squirrel over?
He did. That's exactly what he said.
Okay. That's a little too much information. But hey, so Logan told us yesterday that he was married and broke up with a girl in Canada.
Correct.
Correct.
And yeah, I think he said she was from British Columbia.
Well, Paul, he reminds me of Jack Nicholson's character from The Shining. That Ooh. Picture of his. Here's Johnny. So I guess he had to go all the way to Canada to find a girl that would actually marry him.
Rick, I didn't. It didn't sound like the soundest marriage to me.
well, no, and then he said that he was actually still married to her, but not to tell anybody on national TV. So I don't know how that's going to work.
By the way, I don't think
what
was really weird is that he blamed the divorce on Donald Trump.
I know a lot of
men have blamed Donald Trump for breaking up their marriages, but I've never heard a man blame Donald Trump. For getting in the way. It wasn't like a personal relationship. It was because of the coverage of Donald Trump.
I don't know, Paul. Well, I was happy to find out that I actually did make it into the caller bracket, but then I see that I'm going up against my buddy from Pell City, Aunt Jemima. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out for me, but. I like AJ, but hey, I'm gonna hang in there. And
listen, we only have so many spots, and I know some of you are angry, and I appreciate it. Hey, thanks, Rick. Appreciate your call very much. Jim is up next.
I'm gonna make another exception and call your rotten show. You're a rotten, stinking, lowlife liar. Everybody knows that.
Thank you very much.
May
I have another?
For anybody? You have no love. You are, shut up, man. You let me talk. You have no love for anybody. There's no love except for yourself. You're an SOB, ruthless scumbag. Hmm. And you get on here and lie and con and whatever you do, it's all evil. You're totally evil, man. Evil. More evil than the people in D.C. You're stinking evil. And you get on here and you talk about you love people. You don't love anybody, Feinbaum, except your rotten ass self.
Still there, Jim? I didn't want to interrupt that soliloquy.
Yes, I'm here, moron.
I didn't want to step on a great call.
You can't step on nothing because you got nothing to step on. You're just an evil man. It's simple as that. Everybody knows that. You've been trashing me. Like Augie said, you judge me. You judge others. And I promise you this. I know this for a fact. God's going to judge your rotten ass. I shouldn't have said that about use that in terms of God. But he's going to judge you. He said he would. And he will avenge me speedily in regard to what your lies about me. You've been riding these lies for 10 years or more. And it's stinking. It stinks. It really does. And you have no professionalism. You're just a weasel. You're a low-life weasel. And I would never retract what I'm saying now, because it's absolutely true.
Jim, for the record, I'm turning the other cheek.
Well, you ain't got a cheek to turn, you moron. I'm gone. You got nothing. See, you can't come back against the truth.
No, no. Can't outmatch you, Jim. Thank you for calling, and hope you have a good day. Tanner, I hate to subject you to me since I'm a rotten weasel, but good afternoon.
Well, Paul, good afternoon to you as well, Paul. First off, let me apologize to you and your listeners, because, you know, I woke up this morning and my coworkers,
You woke up on the wrong side of the bed, huh?
No, I woke up on the right side of the bed. It's been a good day, Paul. And you know, I got to work this morning, and my coworkers, they kind of got in my face, and they gave me the pep talk I needed. I was told I need to bring the same energy and passion to each and every call that got me into the caller bracket. And I'm going to take it more serious, Paul. And I know it's an honor and a privilege to be in it. So I just want you to know I'm going to, every day, I'm going to make the commitment to bring the same level of energy and passion. And Paul, if you need me, if the powers that be need me to take Jim to church, I'll take him to church. If they need me to take him to the woodshed, I'll take him to the woodshed.
No, Tanner, I'm a big believer in expression, however you choose to do it, especially when you're determining somebody's outcome with our Almighty, and because apparently Jim does have insight into that, Tanner.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he spent a few months in Bryce Hospital. He got all the insight. but Paul, my coworkers, they set me straight this morning. One of these degenerates even had the nerve to tell me, young man, wake up and smell the coffee. So
well Tanner, I think you're a great young caller, and I think because based on what we heard there from the artist formerly known as Jim, I don't think he has long for the world. So we need a strong foothold in Tuscaloosa, and you are our future.
Well, Paul, I try to represent the people. I try to, you know, I'm a diehard Alabama fan through and through. I like to talk sports. I know sometimes you need a little bit of Jerry Springer to move the needle, and I'll try and bring the passion and the charm and the charisma and everything that, you know, I grew up listening.
Do I remember correctly, Tanner? Because I've been to Tuscaloosa. I mean, isn't Bryce right? Just north of the University of Alabama?
Well, historically, it's moved around a couple times,
okay.
But it is like there's the old Bryce on campus. But
yeah,
then,
that's the one. I mean, I used to pass that all the time when I was parking for games. And for those who don't know what we're talking about, it's a common acronym. Bryce Hospital is a state-run mental institution right off the University of Alabama campus. That's why when you hear commonly from callers reference Jim and Bryce, that's what they're referring to.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I don't know. I've been listening to the show a long time, but I guess I never paid a whole lot of attention to the caller bracket, but I want to give it, you know, all the respect it's due. And could you give me a little insight? Like, should I?
Yeah, here's the deal, Tanner. I understand people's interest in it. Thanks for the call, by the way. It's just something we have fun with it. This is too many people take it seriously. We let callers, the folks that put the show on every day, come up with the candidates and the contestants. And then we let callers on, usually social media, sometimes on the show, determine who moves to the next round. We're up against a break. We are back right after this.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, we've had quite an eventful first hour here on a Tuesday, and that is not going to change anytime soon. Squirrel is up next.
You know, I like to lay in the weeds and wait for a good time to jump out, and it just seems like an appropriate time. Yesterday's show was kind of crazy, man. Matt from San Antonio was fired up, and Logan was talking trash. AJ was talking trash. These guys need to. My advice would be to respect your opponent, first of all. But if Matt gets the Star Trek Society vote behind him, I'm in trouble. That's the only thing that's got me worried. If he brings them cats out, it's going to be a long day for me.
But I've already seen the finals. You have nothing to worry about, Squirrel.
That's good. I'm glad we can manipulate votes in this country. That's what they love about it.
I mean, you have Matt first round easy. You'll get through. I mean, Cat Daddy is not repeating. And
he's a repeating champion, so you got to respect him.
Yeah, you have to. But your most dangerous opponent is going to be AJ.
It's all in the hands of the voters, Paul. That's what's so great about this bracket. It's literally not in my hands. So I'm going to.
Well, it's like the last election. We decide.
Yeah, that's right. We'll find out. But why is your boy, why is your leg humper, why is his panties in a wad today?
He was angry. I have to ask you, you have spoken to him more recently than I have, but there was genuine anger in that phone call.
You spoke to him moments ago, but did you see his tweet last week? I know you was in Nashville, and I know you
were
busy.
No, I probably did not.
He said you and I were brothers, and we had a third brother. Can you guess who it was?
Legend?
Adam Schiff.
Adam Schiff?
And you know how much
Shifty Schiff. I didn't realize that.
You need to go back last week. Yeah, that was pretty amusing.
Hey, by the way, I don't want to be Adam Schiff's brother.
I don't either. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, you and I, he was our third brother, is what he put in his tweet. The Squirrel and PF. I assume that means Paul Feinbaum. But, and he's hearing voices again. You know, those are hallucinations. You know, and again, only mentally ill people get hallucinations. When you get a religious, when you hear a religious voice, that is is a hallucination. It's not an actual voice, Jim. So I would get some help with it. Did you hear him say last week when he was telling us about the yellow teeth? His buddies used to tell him, "Smile, Dickie."
I do remember that. Yes. Yeah.
wonder what he meant by that, "Smile, Dickie." You know, we often thought his name was Dick, but he always denied.
Well, I mean, the rumor for many years was that his first name was Richard, and that's why they would call him Dickie.
Right, right. Well, his phone doesn't come to a guy in Richard. That's what's puzzling to me. I'm back on the Richard thing again now. I thought it was something different, but I'm back on the Richard thing because he let that "Smile, Dickie" comment. But, again, I hope to hear from Mr. Magoo soon. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Trey is up next. Hey, Trey.
Well, is this the stinking, lying, rotten, moron, evil, rotten-ass weasel? That's who I'm trying to
You have to. Him live and in living HD.
All right. Hey, Paul, I'm a little upset about the bracket. Y'all got me going against a female, and there's no way I can talk trash with her. I was raised with four sisters and my mother, and she listens to this show, so I'm going to wish my opponent good luck. How about that? And another thing, Paul, then two questions. When Bash does these events, I'm curious to know what he does. Does he work at the weed concession stand or have a portable weed cart? He goes around and sells stuff at these events, or what does he do?
I truly don't know what Nash does. I'm assuming this is in Denver at the arena there.
Yes, sir. That one serious question for you, Paul. Do you ever see Don Staley coaching a college men's basketball team? And wouldn't that be awesome if she did? And thank you for taking my call today.
Yeah, no, I frankly don't think it would be awesome for this reason. I think women's basketball is equal or better right now than men's basketball. So why would she leave what she's doing, where she is the preeminent coach, to get into another venue?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.